Please be seated. Well, here we are at Thanksgiving. It's hard for me to believe. It seems like, I don't know where summer went, and we're already putting on extra layers of clothes, and the sun is coming up later and going down sooner, and the leaves are all turning. And we're celebrating Harvest Thanksgiving, which is an incredible time of year for me. Having grown up in a rural context, I just didn't understand that the rhythm of life didn't dictate everything that everybody did everywhere. But when you live in a city, you're able to sort of ignore that. And I remember keen anxieties that my relatives who were farmers would have and that I would pick up on over weather. A dry summer wasn't necessarily a good summer. There needed to be rain, and then there needed to be dry at the right time, and we had to cure the grain and make sure that it could dry out so you could harvest it and bring it in. And we live in a society where that isn't quite as obvious to us all the time, because we have Amazon, and I buy lettuce that is grown right where my sister-in-law and brother-in-law live, up here in Canada. It's like just a few, like 20 minutes away from them, and I eat it up here. And we have a food supply that comes from all over the world, and it seems to be never ending. And so I think it's really good that we stop, and we acknowledge, and we give thanks. And as I've been led into these reflections from God's word and listening for what God has to say to me and to us for this week, I was shaped by the question, well, what does it mean to give thanks? And in particular, what does it mean to give thanks in the time of COVID, if we could say that? And one of the things that happens, it seems, when you're a priest, is that you suddenly, at least for me, become incredibly attuned to the amount of suffering that's in the world. I don't know if suddenly the world got a whole lot worse on June 7th in 2009 when I was ordained to the priesthood, but it sure felt like it, because suddenly I've just been aware that there is a lot of suffering. And of course, we experience our own frustrations and sufferings as we go through, and we've got incredible events going on around us, which we have talked about before in these sermon times. The Black Lives Matter movement, the racial tensions that are not just in the United States, but here in Canada, with our own need for truth and reconciliation with First Nations peoples, as we have, as a church and as a government of Canada, apologized and sought for forgiveness. We can't demand it, and it doesn't make it all right, but sought to be reconciled, which of course, the forgiveness part and the reconciling part is more than just saying, all right, I'm glad you've acknowledged that I forgive you. There is also the living out of that, which is a messy business that we're in the middle of. And I was actually in a conversation that was pastoral. I guess every conversation I have is pastoral, right? Because I'm a pastor. And I'll leave this person nameless because you may know who they are. But they were struggling with a conversation that they had with people that they know, where there had been just an edge of anger and resentment about the acknowledgement of Black Lives Matter, I think, or other things like that. And this person had sort of tried to gently say, well, there are things like advantages and disadvantages, and there is a privilege. Whoa. And this person asked me a question that's really shaped my reflections, because I don't think I answered it well. That is, what do you say to people who say, I don't know what you're talking about when you say I have privilege, I earned it. I earned this life. And you see, I get it. My grosspapa lived out east of Didsbury on the flat prairie during the 30s without plumbing or electric heat or furnaces or anything like that, and he had to eke out his living from the land, and it was 40 below, and my dad tells stories of watching Grossmama take the dishwater and throw it on the side of the house in the wintertime so that it would freeze and fill in the cracks so the wooden wouldn't blow the snow in. And then his crops failed, and failed 3 years in a row until he had to go figure out how to do something else. And so he went to Calgary and said, how do I get to be a contractor, a general contractor? And they showed him a test and said, you got to pass a journeyman's exam. And he goes, well, what's that on? And they gave him a big book of code. So he came back a year later and passed the exam. I don't think you can do it that way anymore. He worked hard. I understand that. Nothing was given to him. But what I want to point out is that attitude is the exact opposite attitude of what we are enjoined to do in our text today for Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is to be our posture, how we are, how we live, even in the time of COVID. And I could really start waxing on and on and on, so I'll have to try to be brief today. But I want to look at our text, particularly orienting ourselves around the Deuteronomy text, the Old Testament text, because that is actually a Thanksgiving sermon. I didn't check to see if it's the very first one, but I think I will say, for the sake of, you know, sermonizing, it's the first Thanksgiving sermon. Because Deuteronomy is a book of farewell sermons that were preserved in some way of Moses as he's saying goodbye to the people because he's not going into the land. And there they are, poised at the edge of the land. God has given them the law that is to be shaping their life together in the land. And he's giving a sermon. And what does that sermon say in Deuteronomy? First of all, the land that you're going to, and it's too bad that we only have the last half of the sermon, but it's sort of all there. The land you're going to is going to be good. But it provides a challenge and a danger. The challenge and the danger is that you're going to go there and you're going to eat and you're going to be satisfied and you're going to have an economy based on the earth itself that has iron and things to make a good economy. You're going to have a good life. And when you get there, you're going to say, maybe all of these things I have because I have the power, because I earned it. You see, there's a dual challenge here. This whole Thanksgiving sermon, which is telling us how to be thankful and urging us to be thankful, and more than thankful, to give praise. The translation that we have uses the word to bless. It says, when you get there and you've eaten and you've been satisfied, bless the Lord. It's also the word praise the Lord. You see, praising is different than thanking. I mean, just think about that for a second. If you're going to thank me for something, and you're going to praise me for something, what would you say? Well, thanking would be like, Myron, thank you that you did X, Y, or Z, or that you are a nice guy, or that something like that. But praising's different. Myron, I praise you that. Maybe don't say that. How about you praise God? It's not thanking him for stuff. But it's like Thanksgiving is a preparatory act, or the thing that you do that's sort of like leading you into a position where you could actually give praise. Because thanking is directed towards me, really. Right? I thank you that I have X because of you. Praising is, I bless you. You are, you are, you are. And so what we're urged to do here, I'm going back to the two things that were the dangers. First of all, we are urged not to forget. I have to find where I am in my notes. See, Thanksgiving here is about the danger of forgetting and the urgency of remembering. And the challenge here, it comes to us not, interestingly enough, in the bad times. The spiritual danger is in the good times. So how do we give thanks in the bad times? What is that saying? Well, I think this is the formula, or formula is the wrong word. This is the pattern. Do not forget. Do not forget who you are and where you come from. You come from Egypt, the land of slavery. That's who you were. You are the ones enslaved. You come out of the wilderness into the land. It was a time when you were tested and you failed, and you still get to go to the land. Do not forget that you were not able to save yourself. This is what we're to not forget. You see, of course, as we know, Israel's whole story is a story of our salvation. We are led out of slavery in sin to freedom in Christ, to a land that's good. So don't forget, first of all, that you're not able to save yourself, that you are lost without God. Secondly, don't forget that you are blessed, not because you're better than everyone else, but because God is gracious. That's not the basis on which I receive anything from God, is because, well, on balance, Myron, I thought you were a much better person than whoever who doesn't have the privilege that I do. No, it's because God is gracious, and all that is good comes from God. And also, we're also thirdly not to forget that you live by and because of God's word. The commands that he has given. Remember, we talked about them last week. It is the dialogue that God enters into with us and with Israel and orders our world so that we can thrive, so that we can be blessed. It's what gives us life and makes us whole. And so it's not the stuff that we have that makes us whole, that gives us life. It's not the food and the water. Because I'll bring water out of the rock, and I'll bring manna in the desert. And so what they receive in the wilderness is this time of learning, where they learn that they do not, it says right here in our text, and it's in just before this part of the sermon that we have, in the early part, I think it's verse 3 or 4. They learn that they don't live by bread, but they live by the word of God, who is faithful to them. And so the danger of forgetting is essentially self-sufficiency. That's the danger. Because when we are self-sufficient, we cut ourselves off from God's grace, which is our source of life. And so we forget God when we put ourselves in a position where we don't need or we don't depend on God, when that is so easy to do in the good times. All of you know, I know, when I've been severely tested and challenged in my life because of a whole whatever, there's multiple ways that it happens, seems to be always mostly financial for me. But it's really easy to find God in those moments. Because if he doesn't come through, then what's gonna happen? It's in the good times. It's when you live in Alberta during the time of COVID that you realize, or you're tempted to think, COVID's not such a bad thing. You live in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, it's an awful thing. There are bodies everywhere, quite literally. And so we're tempted, when we forget God, to think that we don't depend on God for our daily lives, and that relationship is not the thing that has to define us and the reality that we live in. So God is no longer our conversation partner. It doesn't mean that you somehow forget that he's there. It's that you don't live as in the knowledge of that. That God's grace and God's word then have no place in our lives. And we become, instead of grace givers, we become grace abusers. You see, when we forget that our lives depend on God, we end up not just destroying ourselves, but we also destroy the land and we destroy others. And that's why we need to acknowledge the land that we live on. And we have to not be threatened by the fact that we live on land that is in some way stolen from First Nations peoples, which is also why Michelle posted our acknowledgement of this on our website, which is always tagged there. But we respectfully acknowledge that the land on which we live, play, work, and worship is Treaty 6 territory, the traditional territory of the Cree, the Dene, the Suto, the Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux, as well as the Métis First Nation. And we acknowledge many First Nations, Métis and Inuit, as those whose footsteps have marked these lands for centuries. It's important. It's not a threat, because God is the one who gives everything. But it's important that we acknowledge these things, because when we don't, we start to think that we own it and we deserve it and it's ours, and we can destroy other people in the process. That is not the heart of thanksgiving that recognizes what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And so we are then to remember. We don't forget. There's the danger of forgetting, and there's the urgency of remembering. We remember who God is, and we remember to live in that dialogue relationship with God where we hear His word, we live His word, and we express that generosity that God has given to us in our lives. We remember that God is the source of life, all of it, that the land is His land. And we live by that grace. We live by His word and we obey God, and so that means we arrange all of our lives as if God really is present and really is speaking. And so the urgency of remembering is that God desires to share God's very life with us and with the world. And that's what Paul is talking about in the Corinthians passage, the second Corinthians passage that we were from chapter 9 that we had for today. That living with God, true life, means that we share God's generosity with the world. I've gone on too long, but I wanted to talk about the spiritual principle we sometimes talk about, generosity. I'm not going to get into it. All I just want to say is what's being described there in 2 Corinthians, and you can look it up if you don't remember it, don't understand it, is not that, hey, if you want to get something, you give. It's not a prescription. It's a description of what it looks like when God is everything. Then you know God's generosity, and you live in that generosity, and you can't not be generous to people, and that is a testament to everything. So Christian thankfulness, as I want to wrap up, to answer my questions at the beginning, and to maybe answer what do you say to people who say we earned it? Well, Christian thankfulness is not saying thank you, but it's living a God-centered life, a life of gratitude and generosity that can lead us to the position where we forget ourselves and praise God. Thanksgiving is about acknowledging that we are dependent beings. We depend on God first and foremost and what He's done for us in Jesus Christ, but we depend on the land, which is a means of grace of God to us. We depend on other people. And that means we are not autonomous. We are accountable. And because God is generous to us, most especially in Jesus Christ, we live lives of gratitude and generosity. And so thinking that we deserve what we have and that we've earned it is the exact opposite of what giving thanks is, of what thanksgiving is all about, and how we Christians are supposed to live our lives. You see, I am to remember God in all that I do, in every interaction, in every breath I take. As the song we just sang said, it's your breath in our lungs. And so we pour out our thanks to you, God. It's even the breath that we have. And I must not forget that I live by God's generosity and the generosity of others. And I am to share with what I have with others, because God is the source of my life and God always is generous to me. So this means then I can be thankful in the dark times and when it's difficult and I don't like my life, because giving thanks isn't about whether I like my life. Giving thanks is really about trusting God, acknowledging that I live in God's grace and that because of Jesus, God is always able, as Paul says in our reading today, He's always able to make God's grace abound to us. So, dear friends, let us, let me and you, each of us, and then us all together, each moment of our lives live in the grace and generosity of God. Please take your bulletin, and if you're able, join.